content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Larry Wilson for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Money.com, The Retirement Guide, AARP Magazine, and Centennial Money Magazine. Our first article from Money.com is entitled, How to Repair Bad Credit. Repairing bad credit is possible, but time-consuming. It's also a minefield. You need to know what steps to take, where to find help, and which companies to avoid. The stakes are high, and the consequences could haunt you for years. Your credit report, history, and score all wield a huge amount of power over your finances. They affect not only whether you get approved by lenders for things like mortgage, personal loans, or a car loan, but also the specific terms of the agreement, like how favorable your interest rate is going to be. Here are 10 tips for repairing bad credit. Martin Lynch, Director of Education at Cambridge Credit Counseling, says that you don't have to be a financial wizard to fix your credit successfully. The secret is to be proactive so you don't stay in the same position forever. Here are some ideas to help get you started. Number one, check for errors on your credit report. Download a copy of your credit report to make sure there aren't any inaccurate or negative items. According to the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, common credit report errors include closed credit accounts showing as open, debts that appear multiple times, and incorrect balances. You can get a free credit report from all three major credit bureaus, Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion, by visiting annualcreditreport.com. If you spot any incorrect information on your credit report, you can dispute it by writing a letter to the appropriate credit reporting agency. The Federal Trade Commission has an example credit disputing letter that you can look at if you're unsure on how to do this. Number two, look into statutes of limitation. Look over your credit report for any bills you've overlooked or accounts you might have forgotten about. Verify that the statutes of limitations on your debts haven't run out. If enough time has passed, it might prohibit collection agencies from suing you. Number three, rethink your credit utilization ratio strategy. Your credit utilization ratio measures how much credit you're using in relation to the overall credit limit you have at any given time. This ratio should never go over one-third or roughly 30% of your spending limit. For example, if you have a total of $1,000 of available credit, you don't want to use more than $300. Once it goes over that third, it just counts against you, says Linda Jacob, Director of Education at Consumer Credit of Des Moines. Number four, make a plan to pay all your bills on time. Payment history makes up 35% of your credit score, so it's crucial to address late payments and make plans for the future. Jacob says it's the first tip she gives new clients. You should also prioritize paying off any credit card accounts in collection. You've got to get those paid in full as quickly as possible to increase your score, because they're just going to sit there until you do, Jacob says. If you need help creating a repayment strategy, Jacob recommends reaching out to a certified financial planner or a credit counselor. Nonprofit organizations like the Association for Financial Counseling and Planning Education and the National Foundation for Credit Counseling can connect you with one. Number five, become an authorized user on someone's credit card. An authorized user is someone added to an existing credit card account under someone else's name. Authorized users can use the card as if it was their own, but they're not responsible for any credit card debt they rack up. And since they're sharing the credit card's payment and utilization rate, this can increase their credit score over time. The financial risk here are mostly for the cardholder, not the authorized user. But as someone trying to build credit, Lynch says, you do have to ask some uncomfortable questions before sealing the deal, like inquiring about the person's payment habits to determine whether this is the right move for you. Number 6, use a program to boost your credit score. Some programs can raise your FICO score by expanding your credit file. They do this by including alternative data as part of your credit report. This is data not typically found on traditional credit scoring models. Here are two of the most popular ones. Experian Boost. Experian Boost enhances your credit file by reporting any payments made to subscription services, including Hulu, Netflix, and HBO Max. It also reports your phone and utility payments. The best part? It is completely free and can help boost your credit score almost instantly. UltraFICO. Just like Experian Boost, UltraFICO is free, but instead of reporting utility bills or subscription payments, its scoring model focuses on assessing how risky you are as a borrower. The program does this by looking at your checking, savings, or money market accounts. Number 7. Use a rent reporting service. If you've been paying your rent religiously, you can use it to your advantage. Some landlords, particularly those who manage multiple properties, tend to use platforms to keep track of their tenants' payments. These platforms also allow them to report rent payments to the credit bureaus. If your landlord doesn't use a rent tracking platform, you can always subscribe to a rent reporting service like Esusu, that's E-S-U-S-U, or RentTrack. These services post your positive rental payments to your report for a monthly fee. Number 8, consider debt consolidation. Debt consolidation consists of bundling all of your debts into one. This often leads to a lower interest rate or a lower monthly payment when compared to individual bills. This repayment strategy is beneficial for those who have trouble juggling multiple due dates or have various high interest credit card balances. Number 9, avoid bad habits. Don't apply for many new credit cards or close several old accounts without an overall strategy. With credit, everything is connected. So closing old and opening new accounts could hurt your history and credit mix. For example, applying for several new credit cards over a short period of time could result in repeated hard inquiries, which can decrease your credit score. Consider getting a credit builder loan or secured credit card instead. And lastly, number 10, be patient. Rebuilding bad credit isn't a fast process. Negative marks or delinquencies, such as missed payments, can stay on your credit report for up to 7 years, while some types of bankruptcies can stay on your report for up to a decade. It may take a few months or even years for a person to raise their credit, but it is feasible with some elbow grease. Lynch says that the most important thing is to be patient, as he often encounters people who are so anxious to fix their credit that they end up making rash decisions that lead to crucial mistakes. Our next article, appearing in the Retirement Guide, is entitled Maximizing Your Social Security Benefits. Your age and lifetime income are the biggest factors in how much you'll get. Social Security began during the Great Depression as a way to protect older Americans from living in poverty in their final years. Today, it provides monthly retirement benefits to around 65 million Americans, making it one of the most popular federal assistance programs ever created. Legal U.S. workers become eligible after 10 years of work, and a special payroll tax helps support the program. Most people can't start collecting benefits until at least age 62. It's good to remember the program's origins. Social Security was never intended as a retirement plan or a pension. Rather, it's a backstop that helps ensure that your most basic needs are covered. Used on its own, Social Security would likely be difficult to maintain your current lifestyle. So it should be thought of as a supplement to other sources of income, such as retirement accounts and other savings. That said, when and how you claim your Social Security benefits will have a big impact on how much you receive. Here's a closer look. Claiming early versus delaying. As you approach retirement, the most important decision regarding Social Security is when to start collecting benefits. Depending on the year you were born, your so-called full retirement age, or FRA, will be anywhere from 65 to 67. People born in 1960 or later reach FRA at 67. You can start collecting benefits as early as age 62, although doing so will lower your monthly check by as much as 30%. Early benefits will also be reduced if you're still working, although you'll get that money back after you reach FRA. Waiting to start payments until after FRA will raise your benefit by 8% annually up to age 70. The math favors waiting as long as you can. Say your FRA is age 67, and say at that point you'll collect $2,000 a month. Waiting until age 70 boosts your monthly check 24% to $2,480. You will have missed out on receiving benefits over the years from ages 67 to 70, but with your higher delayed payment, you'll break even around age 82. Consider that a 67-year-old American man will die, on average, at the age of 83.7 and a woman at the age of 86.1. Since both ages go beyond the break-even, holding off on claiming Social Security may be a better bet statistically. But you're not a statistic. If you have serious health issues or a family history that suggests you might not live into old age, it might make sense to start withdrawals early. And of course, people without pensions or a nest egg may need the income as soon as possible. Strategies for couples. Married couples can choose to take their own individual benefits, or the spouse with the smaller benefit can take 50% of the other spouse's benefit. Often that's more money if one partner has a limited work history. But you must have reached your FRA or you'll get less than 50%. The higher earning spouse isn't required to start their own benefit at the same time. In fact, it may be advantageous for that partner to wait until age 70, which will mean a larger survivor benefit if they die first. As of 2022, the Social Security Administration allows a member of the same-sex relationship to claim survivor benefits by proving they were a couple before gay marriage was legalized. Tracking your progress. Workers age 25 and older are mailed an annual Social Security benefit statement, which details estimated benefits at various retirement ages. Because benefits are based largely on your lifetime income, the future estimates for younger workers are mostly guesswork. Nobody knows how much you'll earn later in your career. You can also view benefits by creating an online account at ssa.gov, which provides a calculator you can use to see how at what age at which you enroll will affect your monthly payment. Your statement will list your benefits in today's dollars, but the actual payment will be adjusted annually for inflation. So think of the number as a reflection of spending power. A monthly payment estimated at $1,500 today will buy you that much in groceries right now, and the same amount of groceries in, say, 20 years, whatever they might actually cost in the future. Ideally, your Social Security check will be a nice addition to your retirement income, and one not subject to the ups and downs of the markets. In fact, the guaranteed income may give you more flexibility in how you invest the rest of your portfolio, allowing you to potentially invest in higher risk assets like stocks. Our next article appeared in the AARP magazine, written by Gene Shatsky, entitled "Tap Savings or Get a Loan. A Frugal Man Can't Decide How to Pay for Some Big Unexpected Cost." The problem: surprise expenses pop up regularly. That's why retired salesperson Jeff Caulfield, age 65, got into touch with us. Widowed in 2014, he lives, as he describes it, a frugal existence in Albany, New York, where he's the primary caregiver for his parents. His house and used car are paid off, so his $2,750 monthly income from Social Security survivor benefits and his late wife's pension, plus occasional withdrawals from his checking account, which now has over $30,000 in it, cover his ongoing needs. He also has a retirement account worth about $1.1 million. Now, Caulfield needs as much as $30,000 for some major dental work and a new fence for his house. He doesn't want to tap his retirement account, but he doesn't want to borrow money either. "I hate debt," he writes. "What should he do?" The advice: as I delved into Caulfield's situation with New York City-based financial advisor Stacy Francis and Duke University behavioral economist Dan Ehrlich, I saw that deciding how to fund Caulfield's expenses wasn't purely a financial puzzle. It also touched on the psychology of spending in retirement. Number one, the nest egg looks safe. Caulfield could pull the $30,000 from his retirement account with little impact on his future security. The math is simple. Based on conservative assumptions, if Caulfield withdrew 3% of his portfolio this year and each year made comparable withdrawals adjusted for inflation, his portfolio should easily last for 30 years or more. 3% of $1.1 million is about $33,000. Caulfield doesn't plan to withdraw that much regularly, so he should not need to worry. But with markets dropping, he was reluctant to withdraw money when his stocks were down. He worries he might outlast his money. Francis has seen this before, an unwillingness among certain people to make what she would consider a safe withdrawal from a retirement account. Savings and investing and seeing their portfolio grow gives them a sense of comfort and security. People can be so alarmed about dipping into their portfolio that they hurt their standard of living. Number two, borrowing makes sense too. Alternatively, Caulfield could get a home equity line of credit, or a HELOC, that's H-E-L-O-C, from his credit union, available at an initial rate of 3.5%. Most HELOCs have a variable interest rate, but this one has a fixed rate option. If over the long term Caulfield pays 3.5% on that debt and his portfolio has an average return of 6.5%, a reasonable figure in Francis's opinion, he's better off not touching the portfolio and letting it grow. Of course, there's no guarantee the market will do that well, so this approach has some risk. Number three, unpredictability requires a plan. To avoid a replay of this dilemma, Caulfield should allow for surprise expenses in his regular budget. Ehrlich says each unexpected expense, the pipes bursting, the boiler breaking, and so on, has a very small probability of happening, So we don't create a category for each of them, he explains. But together, they make a big category. That means funding an account solely for unexpected expenses. Any cash left over at year end shouldn't roll over to the next year, but rather be used for something fun. That way, an unpleasant category becomes more pleasant. The outcome. When I last spoke with Caulfield, he had set up a HELOC and planned to pull out enough money to cover this year's costs before interest rates rose further. How did the debt hater feel about this debt? I like having that side of the ledger as low as possible, he said. But it's probably the best thing to do. That's why I asked the question in the first place. Our next article is from Centennial Money Magazine, entitled Fight Back Against Inflation. In early 2021, prices on goods began increasing at a rate slightly higher than usual. Over the course of the year, the rate of those price increases steepened. By May of 2022, when inflation rose 8.6%, the most since the early 1980s, there was no denying it. America was in a period of prolonged inflation. Essentially, inflation describes the phenomenon of money becoming less valuable. And for everyday people concerned with paying bills, feeding their kids, and saving for their futures, it can bring on a sense of feeling of helplessness. Fortunately, there are steps to take to protect your finances from inflation. The first is to diversify your portfolio. During a period of inflation, or during any other period for that matter, no single asset is a sure bet to protect your portfolio. Gold is a famously steady investment, but nonetheless had a turbulent first half of 2022 when inflation was charging full steam ahead. Bitcoin had been touted by many as a smart hedge against inflation, but the popular cryptocurrency took a big nosedive during the same time period. This is not to say that you shouldn't be invested in gold or crypto, but rather that no single asset should play an outsized role. A trusted financial advisor can help you determine how much of your money should be in stocks, bonds, cash, and other investments. Make major purchases now. Generally speaking, it's wise to put off major purchases until they're necessary. You may know that you'll need a new car sometime in the next year or so, for example, but getting some extra miles out of your current ride is the prudent thing to do. But when inflation is on the rise, it's time to open up your wallet. If forecasts suggest that inflation will continue apace for the foreseeable future, that means a car could cost significantly more a year from now. Don't pass up an opportunity to get out in front of a retailer raising its prices. Ask for a raise or go find one elsewhere. Here's a sobering thought. If your employer gives you a 5% salary raise, but the economy is in a period of 7% inflation, you're actually taking a pay cut. Inflation is a valid and compelling reason to ask for an increased raise, and you should use it to do so. You'll likely be able to find statistics pointing to higher paying rates across your industry to bolster your case. If your employer isn't moved and you feel that you're truly being left behind financially, it may be time to find another job. Entering the job market can help you find a higher paying offer. Pay down debt. There's no one-to-one relationship between inflation and the stock market. Stocks have surged alongside inflation at times, yet other periods, such as the first half of 2022, they've seen the markets plummet, in part because of concerns raised by inflation. If you're concerned about the state of the market, one investment on which you're guaranteed to see a significant return is the payment of debts. Getting ahead of schedule on your student loan repayment schedule, for example, could save you thousands of dollars down the line. Cut cost. Everyday money savings tips apply equally during times of inflation, and perhaps even more so. With gas prices inflated and at staggering highs, see if you can work from home, bike, or take public transportation to the office. With grocery costs on the rise, pick up a membership to Costco or another wholesale retailer so you can buy food and household items in bulk. And if worse comes to worse, you can cancel one of your cherished streaming subscriptions. Every dollar counts. And our next article, appearing in the Retirement Guide, entitled Refinancing to Control Mortgage Debt. If your monthly mortgage payment becomes unmanageable, or if you're looking to save some money, consider refinancing. When you refinance, you swap out your original loan for a new loan to lower your interest rate or shorten or lengthen the term of your mortgage. A mortgage refinance can also be expensive, saddling you with new closing costs. Some experts suggest you shouldn't refinance unless you can lower your rate by 1% or more to help ensure you come ahead. Furthermore, there are other factors to consider. What kind of interest rate you can get. You may consider refinancing when interest rates fall or if your credit score has improved. A higher credit score may give you a shot at a loan with a lower rate. Will you shorten or lengthen the term of your mortgage? When considering the new terms, pay attention to how long it will take to pay off the loan. If you can lower interest rates, you may be able to shorten the term of your mortgage with no change to your monthly payments. A shorter repayment period means you'll pay less interest over the life of the loan. What are the associated costs? Expect to pay between 2% and 5% of your loan principal in closing costs. Be wary of no-cost refinancing. While you may not have to pay closing costs up front, your lender will figure out ways to make you pay them eventually, often by rolling them into your monthly payment. Well, we are just about out of time. We hope you have enjoyed the episode today, and I appreciate you listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. This is Larry Wilson. And today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Money Matters is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us, 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.